Welcome, everyone, to episode 19 of The Bon Bon Show. Today is February 1st, 2026. And on today's show, we're going to dive into the world of Japanese train, aka densha books, specifically children's books. Oh, and before you go, hey, I'm not a child, I'm an adult. I'm listening and I'm an adult. Just wait, you adult. You're bound to learn something new from these books, just like I did. Not only do you learn about trains, but you also get a chance to practice your Japanese and learn more about Japan. Yay!
Did you say learn Japanese and about trains?
Yes.
Hello, Aaron, and hello, listeners. This is Kirk. Welcome to today's episode of The Bon Bon Show. We are both fans of Japanese trains, densha otaku, if you will. Mm-hmm. Aaron and his son Kai have opened a new world to me in the form of books about trains. And we wanted to share three of those books today. And I also wanted to mention that this episode is a little special. If you're listening on Spotify or iTunes or Amazon Music or wherever you're getting this podcast audio from, that is fine. But if you want to see pictures of the books that we're going to talk about today, please check out the video version of this episode of The Bon Bon Show, which is on our YouTube channel. Links in the show notes, and subscribe while you're over there. So let's get into it. Aaron, what are the three books you want to share with us today?
Yes, three books. Before I get to that, though, I feel like slowly we're becoming Densha Otaku the podcast.
Sort of, kind of, not really, but
we do really love our trains. So, yes, yeah. Hopefully, if you're not a train lover yet, I'm sure you will slowly begin to be one over time if you continue listening to us. So we will find more and more ways to fit trains into our shows.
Yeah, Japanese trains are very Japanese. So yeah, we will be talking about trains any opportunity we get. But we have some other topics lined up for you in the coming weeks and months. So
yes, of stick course. Around. Yeah, the three books I'll go over to today are, I'll say the names right now, and then I'll go into a little bit more detail here in just a little bit. So for those listening, we have number one is Shinkansen de Iko, which translates into Let's Take the Shinkansen.
Iko!
Yeah, let's go! Number two will be Shinkansen de Go, which obviously translates to Go with Shinkansen. We really love the Shinkansen over here. And I will say that's kind of where everything kind of started for me and my son is, I think the very first thing I showed him was the Shinkansen. So when I was looking at buying books, I kind of just gravitated toward anything that was Shinkansen related. As we go through the show, I'll kind of share where things have taken us to where we are today, which kind of helps with the third book, which is titled Densha no Zukan, which is roughly translated into a train illustrated reference book of sorts. So not entirely Shinkansen related, but just more of like the entire world of Japanese trains in a nice illustrated reference book for children. So those are the three books that I want to share with everyone today.
So Shinkansen de Iko, Shinkansen de Go, and Densha no Zukan. See, I'm practicing my Japanese, senpai.
There, see, this is already helping you. It's helping me with my listening. Perfect.
Speaking of studying Japanese, there's also a benefit to reading these air quotes children's books, right, senpai?
Yeah. Oh, exactly. I think, yeah, they start off as children books, or what I thought was going to be just children's books. But I would say, for anyone listening, these are more than just books for kids. Like, I won't lie, I've spent hours reading these to my son, but I won't lie, I've just sat alone by myself in the playroom or on a couch and just looking at them on my own and just studying the different trains and learning. And so I think they're good for everyone, and I've showed them to just other people that have come over that I get really excited about it. I show them these books, and they're like, what is this? And then I show them the pictures and everything, and they kind of, you know, at least they're pretending to take an interest. I don't know if they actually have an interest or not, but anyways, it's just, I feel like they're accessible to everyone, regardless if you know Japanese or not, because they are varied in all of the illustrations that are provided. So even if you know zero Japanese, you can look at them and just discover something new, I think. But when it comes to the studying the Japanese piece, for anyone that is out there that's studying Japanese, I think these books, of course, it's in Japanese, so you're going to learn some vocabulary, hopefully practice some new grammar or just refine grammar that you already know. But if you're not used to reading train books at all or knowing the train world, just because it's not a super interest of yours, you're likely going to run into some vocabulary that maybe you've never heard of before, or, you know, that's likely going to take place. And so you can learn new vocabulary, refine the vocabulary you already know. So that's an advantage. I'd say these books are designed for adults to read to their children. And so they're written in such a way that, you know, there isn't any kanji because, of course, adults are reading them to them. But kids are going to read these as well. So depending on where your level of kanji is at, if you're an early beginner of Japanese, but you know your hiragana and katakana, very approachable. And if you're not too sure on your kanji or you're still, you know, not great at it, there might be some kanji, but there's usually the romaji, or not the romaji. Yeah, romaji. No, furigana, sorry. The furigana with the kanji as well to help you practice your kanji if you're unsure of the readings. So that's a really positive aspect of them. And because they're just regular books for Japanese people or people that speak Japanese on a day-to-day basis, they're written by Japanese speakers for other Japanese speakers, right? So they're not written to try to teach people something. Although, of course, when we're learning or reading something new for the first time, you're going to take something out of it. But this is just how this Japanese person decided to write this book for just other Japanese people of different age groups. And so you get to see a different perspective of just reading someone else's writing, as opposed to when you're learning Japanese, you're used to reading certain sentences out of a textbook, sometimes very formulaic. And so
exactly,
when you start reading something that's just designed as a educational piece that wasn't intended to teach someone Japanese, you're going to see it a different way that Japanese is used in the written text and just casually for other people. And so that's a really good way to learn, I think.
Yeah, and to interject here, as both of us are also I guess longtime Japanese language learners, in my recent studies I found that what you just described, like reading textbooks or learning grammar through these formulaic ways, just doesn't really resonate with my brain. But I found that just reading news articles, reading stuff that is not so much written for learning the language, but just natural language in everyday life,
exactly.
Especially news articles, kids' books, those types of things are perfect for you to see the grammar points and stuff that you are learning in such formulaic ways being applied to the language in a natural way, and it sticks with you more, I feel, versus you have, I don't know, flashcards and stuff burning through grammar and also like kanji that you realize that some kanji are just definitely kanji that you need to know because you'll see them everywhere, that type of stuff. But yeah, continue.
Yeah, and I think kind of continuing off that, I think it's, at least for me, it helps me learn something better when I'm in a topic or reading it through a hobby or something that I like, as opposed to just trying to like drill words or grammar points into my head. If I can try to like, okay, I need to learn this grammar point or I need to learn this piece of vocabulary, is there something that I enjoy reading about or doing or watching that I can almost get some of that vocabulary mixed in at the same time, or that kanji or whatever that that topic is. That way it doesn't seem such as like a grind to try to learn something, because you already enjoy what you're doing, and then you're just kind of like modifying a little bit in terms of the language that you're interacting in. So that really helps me pick up those pieces and then also remember those pieces. And then I'm just going to constantly like go back to that thing all the time, because I already just enjoy it, but now it's in Japanese instead of English. And so that can really help you learn. And so that's what these books are doing for me personally.
Yeah.
And going back to like the vocabulary stuff. Yeah. As you learn these pieces, as you learn new vocabulary, you can incorporate them into your travels and your adventures when you're in Japan. So when you're at the train station, you have some new train vocabulary, or on the train, or you're on the train by yourself and you're sitting beside somebody, and now you can, you know, spark a conversation with somebody, and now you have an expanded vocabulary toolkit that you can use to express yourself a little bit more than maybe perhaps you could have before you had, you know, engaged yourself with those materials. So just some things to keep in mind, and this is just, we're relating it to trains because that's what we're talking about today, but you could take this and expand it to anything that you like. So if you like really, really love sports or some sort of other cultural activity, like say like sumo or karate, you know, pick up those books or whatever they are, kids books or youth books or adult books, and just dive into them as much as you can. And it's easier when you find something maybe a little bit easier in the beginning and then work your way up in terms of difficulty. But you can relate everything that we're saying today to any topic, not just trains, but that's what we're focused on just because, you know, that's what we personally love. So yeah.
Nice.
So that's kind of the pillars on if you're studying Japanese, some of the advantages that you can get out of it for yourself.
Nice. Also reading these books would probably help you with, I don't know, actually using Japanese trains in the future if you visit. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think so. I think as we all know, Japan, like, trains are embedded into everyday life for millions and millions of people in Japan. So if you plan on going to Japan, or you're already living there and you pick these up, you'll be like, wow, look at all these new places that I never knew of before. And I'll kind of get into how you can discover those through these books in particular. But you'll really start to learn more about just change trains in general and where they can take you. So it sort of becomes like a cultural learning activity as well, especially if you weren't familiar with how integrated trains are into Japan. You can start to see, oh wow, this is a really useful transportation method. I should take advantage of that when I plan my trip to Japan, if you didn't know about that before. And then as you learn about that, even if you don't know about even if you don't know Japanese at all, but you're just interested in the culture and just learning a bit more about the country in general, you can take your learnings from the books. And one of my examples was one of the most famous trains in Japan for all ages. Kids really, really love this train. It's called Dr. Yellow. And it's a diagnostic train that runs on the Tokaido Sanyo Kyushu line, and of course it's yellow. And it's a really rare sighting, so the scheduling for the train is not known. What day it will run is not known, the time.
Have you ever seen Dr. Yellow, by the way?
I've never seen it in
person. I've seen Dr. Yellow, and everyone around me was going crazy.
Oh man,
I think it was so I think it was Nagoya. I think it was when I was at Nagoya station, and everyone was like, "Oh, Dr. Yellow, yeah!" And all the densha otaku were like,
"Yeah,"
flying around taking photos. Yeah,
that's amazing. So yeah, if you didn't have experience reading these books or knowing like, okay, what Dr. Yellow is, if you would have been at the train station, everyone's kind of going crazy and you just look around, you're like, oh, it's just a yellow train. Like what's the big deal? And you don't, you don't know that you're in a moment that is so rare for most people. Whereas, oh, you've read one of these books and you get to learn about Dr. Yellow and what makes it so special. And now you go to Japan and you so happen to be at the train station and you see Dr. Yellow. Everyone else is getting excited. And now you know, like, oh, I'm going to get excited too. Bring out your camera and everyone's, you know, taking pictures and you can share that moment with everyone else. And now you have like a really special moment during your Japan trip that you knew was a special moment because you had some previous knowledge reading these books. And so that's kind of a really cool thing that you can take out of. So there's, you know, other moments and other things that you can learn from these books that can help create special moments for you and your family when you go on a trip to Japan. So just something to think about. So it doesn't, you don't need to know Japanese, but now you have this cultural context that can really assist you in having just a, you know, your Japan trip is going to be fulfilling no matter what, but it's just going to be slightly more elevated because you had this this more deeper insight into Japanese culture.
Yep. All right. So shall we get into the books?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, the first one was Shinkansen de Ikko.
Yes.
Tell me about that one. Shinkansen de
Ikko. Let's take the Shinkansen. So this one is unique in the way that it's designed. So this book you can read from, I guess, left to right or right to left. So I know in Japan, most people read right to left. So you're opening the book and then flipping it, I guess, to your right. But this book you can open either way. So if you open it from like a left to right perspective, I feel like I'm going to get confused on saying that all the time. you start in Kyushu, and then the way that the book goes, you eventually follow the train and end up in Hokkaido. And then if you were to go from right to left, then you start in Hokkaido, and then you work your way back down to Kyushu. So this book is designed in that it's not really much of like a story. You're not following any particular character or person and discovering, you know, why they're going from Kyushu to Hokkaido or Hokkaido to Kyushu. It's really just helping you learn about the Shinkansen line is the main focus of where it goes in Japan. And so that's kind of the cool thing about that. But when I opened the book and I started discovering the Shinkansen line, I noticed that as you flip through the pages, you're seeing Japan represented throughout the book. And it's, if you were to take all the pages out of the book and line them beside, you could create like a full map of Japan. But because the book is in a book size, of course, they can only dedicate so much
space. Don't do that, Aaron. Do not rip the books apart. I'm warning you.
I won't do that. But as you... I might be tempted. Maybe I should buy another copy and then rip it apart.
No, dame. Yurusanai. Zettai.
I won't do that. So you start to discover all of the other train lines that are in Japan that aren't related to Shinkansen. Because Shinkansen line is just the high-speed bullet train that everyone knows that goes through Japan. But then what about all the other lines? And what's cool about this book is that it actually has a lot of those other lines represented in the book, where they actually are in real life. And then not only are the lines represented, but they have the main kind of train that runs on them with the name. And the, you know, you can look at the art and it's very clearly that particular train. And so the attention to detail is just really, really high. Again, this is why I spent hours just looking at the books on my own and learning, is because it's just, this is how it also kickstarted the, oh, it's not just Shinkansen that I'm interested in anymore. It's just all trains, because they're all so unique and they have their own story and they specialize in this thing and they can take you from here to there. And that place where it ends is famous for this. And it's just like this rabbit hole of possibility. And so, and you get to see how well Japan is connected with in itself via the trains. And it's also impressive. And so this is kind of what that book did. It's just really educational and just understanding all of the lines. I don't think it has all of the lines, but it's got such a a high percentage of them. And so this is what that book is all about. So if you're looking for a story, not so much of a story, but if you're looking for a lot of cool art, learning more about just trains in general, this is a really cool book to check out.
Nice. Yeah, so do we want to get into the second book? What's different? Both of them have Shinkansen in the name. So we looked at Shinkansen de Ikko. What's different about Shinkansen de Go?
Shinkansen de Go is, I would say it's similar to de Ikko in the sense that it still has the maps of Japan interwoven throughout, where you get to see where the Shinkansen line is. They do have a lot of the other trains as well. How they highlight those trains is slightly different. In De Ikko, all of the names of the trains are like literally right beside the actual train where they are on the map. Whereas De Go has kind of like a legend on the bottom of all the pages. So that keeps all of the text at the bottom. And so, you know, 90% of the page is just the Japanese map with all the trains, and there's no extra text in play. And then you just see all of the words at the very bottom. So it kind of keeps things a little bit more refined. There are words throughout the pages as well, because they like to denote like sounds of the trains that they're making, the place names. So there's going to be words no matter where you are, because it is a map, of course, but the names of the trains are at the bottom. This one does have a dedicated story. So if you are looking for a book that has, you know, a character that goes through some sort of arc, I wouldn't say it's much of an arc, but there is an arc. Essentially, it's a boy and his cousin. His cousin is from Switzerland, I believe. The boy, he lives in Japan, but his cousin comes over to visit. They start in Kyushu. And the point of the journey is to go to Hokkaido because they have a sports festival, like tournament, that they need to attend. It's kind of like a mini Olympics for kids is kind of what it looks like when you finally arrive in Hokkaido. That's what it looks like to me. All the characters are different animals, and so it's really cool and nicely illustrated. But you get to see a different perspective. So it's not just maps of Japan and seeing the trains. So every other page has a map of Japan, but it also has interiors of the trains, which are slightly, I guess, fantastical in such a way that they're not like true interiors of the trains. They've kind of modified them a little bit just for story purposes. But either way, you can get an idea of what the interior of a Shinkansen would be. But they also go to train stations that you get to take a look at, train museums. They get to go to where the train conductor's driver's seat is. They also go to a manufacturing plant where they build Shinkansens. And so that's really cool. You get the map, and then you get a different perspective of something train related. And a really, really cool thing I love about this book is that in every page, there's something hidden, or there's many things to be found. And you don't really have directions on what they are. But as you start going through the book, you're like, I'm noticing, and I didn't notice this at first, but then I was like, I think there's a Dr. Yellow on this page. Okay, that's interesting. And then I would, you know, flip a few more pages and I'd go, okay, there's a Dr. Yellow on this page. Wait, is there a Dr. Yellow on the last page and I didn't find one? Like, okay, let's let's take another look. And here I am just trying to like uncover where the Dr. Yellow is. And oh, it's like, oh, I did see it. So, oh, is there a Dr. Yellow on every page now? Oh, I need to go back to the book and find all the Dr. Yellows. And there's other things to find and whatnot. And so now that I know, as I discovered that there's secret things in woven within the book, then next time I read it with my son, I go, hey Kai, like, where's Dr. Yellow? Or there's another diagnostic train called Isto-Ai. Where's Isto-Ai, Kai? And then you get to see him kind of light up. He's like, wait, there's a Dr. Yellow on this page? Because he loves Dr. Yellow, of course, too, right? And so Now you get to see him scouring the page looking for Dr. Yellow, and then when he finds it and you give him a high five, and everyone's really happy, and it's like, did you know there's another one on the next page? And then you get to do it all over again. So this is kind of what this book brings to the table, is really good educational piece of the maps, but also a really cool story with all the little details and secrets that you can find throughout. So this book also has another one in the series, at least. There might be more. I like this one a little bit more than the other one we have, just because of the maps that are interwoven. The other one is more focused on a story, which is cool, but I like this one a little bit more, so that's why I put it on my list instead, because it's got both the maps and a cool story woven together. So yeah, that's Shinkansen to go.
Nice. And the third one, Densha no Zukan, is the one that I think I would probably be most interested in reading, because I too love the Shinkansen, but the fact that it is a train illustrated reference book would sound like a gold mine for someone like me who is interested in trains, or and other people who are interested in trains. So yeah, tell me about the Densha no Zukan book, or tell us about it.
Yeah, Densha no Zukan was a really good, I think it's a really good one to follow up with after these two. Just because the other two kind of will show you a lot of trains. Again, like I said, there's the Shinkansen, but then there's all the other trains on the map, and you might be going, well, what's the
Yeah, I noticed
difference with.
the I noticed the Yamanote Sen and Dr. Yellow is actually on the front. So that's a
Yeah.
good start.
So you might be going like, yeah, all these other trains exist in Japan, but like what's the difference? Like what's why is this one look different than these ones? And is this one faster than the others? And why are these ones longer? Why is this one shorter? Like what does it all mean? And so if you're curious about any of that, then this one's a really good one to follow up with, because this one comes in handy to kind of highlight, I guess, the main groupings of trains. So we have, Shinkansen, which are the bullet trains. But Kirk had just mentioned the Yamanote Sen. And Yamanote Sen, that's not a Shinkansen. That's a train that goes, I guess, in a loop of sorts around Tokyo. And it's very long, and it's the main purpose of that one is to carry commuters from around Tokyo, and usually for work or just getting around the city.
Yeah,
So what
and may I
would
interject talking about the
yes.
Yamanote Sen? Now that I live in Tokyo, side story of sorts. Before moving to Tokyo, I used to really like the Yamanote Sen. I was like, oh my God, that train is so cool. It goes in a loop of sorts around Tokyo, and it must be so cool to ride that train. The colors are nice. It comes every like 3 minutes. It's probably one of the most ridden trains in the world. I
Yeah.
can't wait to move to Tokyo. I'm gonna take the Yamanote Sen every chance I get. Now
Uh-oh. Oh no, what
I
happened?
avoid the Yamanote Sen. I love seeing it when I'm outside it, but oh my God, if you take the Yamanote Sen at certain hours of the day, God damn it, it feels like you're packed into a sardine can and everyone is so grumpy and mean, and it's just like
Yeah.
miserable riding that train. Like if you catch it like maybe 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. or like 2 p.m. to 3 p.m., that little window where it's no longer rush hour and crazy, or on the weekend, it's a really nice train to ride. But during rush hour, anytime between
Oh yeah.
6 a.m. and 9 a.m., avoid that train. They will crush you and keep going, and nothing will come of it. But yeah, I still love Yamanote Sen, but I just wanted to say how my internal feelings have changed from wanting to ride that train to just being happy to see it go by. Yes, continue.
I feel you on that one. It's definitely, like you said, the most well-ridden, popular train in all of the world, just because the amount of people that it carries day in and day out. But yeah, I could see the extremely nice flavor of that train wearing out really, really quickly, like a really flavorful piece of gum from like the 90s that tasted amazing for the first like 10 seconds. And then after that, you're like, get this out of my mouth. It's just like, tastes like
Yeah.
nothing. It's making your jaw sore. Yeah, that's what the Yamanote Sen will do to you after you ride it during rush hour. So, yeah, getting back to the book a little bit. So, the book will, it has all the main groupings of the different trains that you'll likely encounter while you're in Japan. So, the Yamanote Sen is part of the train type called Tsukin Densha, which translates to commuter train. So, oh, cool. I didn't know what a Tsukin Densha was. Now I know this new word, and now I can refer to the Yamanote Sen as like properly as opposed to just calling it a densha, which I mean you can. A densha just being like electric train, essentially, but now it's a commuter train. So you get that extra little detail if you're trying to relay something to someone or just
Incoming quiz, incoming quiz. If you know what the commuter train is called, Mr. I know things about trains, what's the cargo train called? And if you get this wrong, everyone on the podcast is gonna know that you're not a true densha
Oh no. So the freight trains is what you're
Yeah.
referring to?
Yep.
Yeah, Kamotsu
Ah. Oh no, he got it. He got it, everyone. I was hoping to
Resha.
put him on the spot. Ah, why are you such a cool co-host? Why do you know
Yeah.
things?
Only because of this book. See, you gotta buy this book.
Nice, nice,
Yeah, those
nice,
trains are
nice.
covered in this book. Another ones that if your child or you grew up on Thomas the Train is a steam train. It's like, oh, well, what are steam trains called in Japanese? Oh, they're called Jōkikansha. That one's kind of fun to
Ooh,
say.
yeah, I didn't know that one.
And something that I'm like super addicted to right now, watching videos on YouTube and finding these ones, are the really fancy tourist trains that are in Kyushu. I feel like they have so many around that area. Those ones are called Kankō Ressha, and I
Oh,
could talk about, or I'm
Kanko. I know the
Kankō Ressha, yeah.
Kanko. Yeah.
So those, yeah, that might have to be a podcast at some point. Who knows when, but I haven't been on one myself. I sent Kirk a video a few days ago saying, like, look at this highlight video of all these cool Kankō Ressha.
Everyone,
I
he's
need to
been
ride
sending me more than one videos. My
one.
inbox is just like, hey, check this video out. Oh, check this video out. Oh, Kai likes this video. But I love it. I love it too.
Yeah, so these ones, I'd love to chat about these more when I get some more experience with them. So those are just some of the types of trains. But within the book itself, it has very nicely detailed, illustrated pictures of the different types of trains within each of those groupings. And then it gives you the names of those trains, some highlights of those trains, like some interior shots of those trains. And so it's just really, really cool to like take what started as, oh, I'm just going to get a book on Shinkansen, which ended up not being just a book about Shinkansen. It was a book about Japan, a book about all of the other trains in Japan. And you're like, okay, well, I want to learn more. And it's like, oh, I'll get this reference book. And now this reference book takes your knowledge to the next level. And then you start learning even more vocabulary. And you start learning, maybe some more kanji or some
And
new
then you
grammar or
find
whatever that
yourself
might be.
living in Japan, and now you
Yeah.
want to just jump on the train and collect Ekitags tags and take photos of train. Before you know it, you've joined a densha otaku club and you stop working and stop eating and you go out every day just looking for trains because, oh my God, you love okay.
Now I'm the CEO of JR East or something.
At least in my mind, and people think I'm crazy because I'm walking around in a densha worker's uniform every day, but I don't work at JR.
Speaking of that, actually, at the very back of this book, it actually explains all the different types of jobs that exist when it comes to running the trains in Japan. So if you want to be the train conductor, or if you want to be someone that works on the trains or the lines, or you want to be someone that works at the train station, it kind of goes over all of those different roles and shows them in nice, again, illustrated illustrations of the different people that work in those positions. And then at the very end, it actually has like this nice little flow chart of, oh,
Ooh.
you want to work at the train station? Okay, this is what you need to do. Oh, you want to be a train conductor? Oh, this is what you need to do. Oh, you want to be like more on the operations side? Okay, this is what you need to do. And it was
Do you
like,
think
oh,
it's too
that's
late
kind
for
of
us, Aaron? We can do it. Let's work
yeah.
hard, and maybe one day we'll get a job at JR. I'd
Yeah.
just be happy smiling at people and I don't know, announcing stuff on the what do you call it, the megaphone.
Yeah, the overcom.
Yeah, like
Mamo
Minasan konnichiwa.
naku.
Mamo naku nantoka nantoka.
ご注意ください
There'd be so many complaints because I'll probably be giggling all day.
Yeah,
But yeah.
that would be a fantastic job. So I would say overall, like this book kind of just sums up all of the cool things that you were interested in, or at least for me, and then put it in a nice little package that, as a child, if you're looking at this book, you're just going to be fascinated at all the cool pictures. And then as you get older and your reading level, heightens, of course, you can start reading the things that are on the page. And then as an adult, you just support your child or yourself and just learning all of this new stuff that's written on the page and just enjoying all the cool illustrations and the attention to detail that someone put into making all of these books is really cool. And so, yeah, and again, I would say it's written at a level that anyone can come into it. So if you feel like, oh, I'm a bit nervous, I can't, I'm just starting Japanese, as long as you have a willingness to just kind of push through and you have some hiragana line knowledge or katakana, then you'll eventually figure it out, and then you can have a dictionary beside you, whatever you need to do. And if worse comes to worse and you like, I'm not learning Japanese, the pictures speak
Yeah.
a thousand words as well. So don't let, and you can say this about any books in any language. If it's got lots of pictures, don't let that stop you from even just opening up the cover and just taking a breeze through. So
Yeah.
yeah, those were the three books that I wanted to just highlight today. And so hopefully, if you're not into trains, or if you are into trains, hopefully this sparked a little bit of curiosity to just go pick up a book. I think this was me a few years ago before my son was born. My desire to look at books was very like regulated to graphic novels and Japanese textbooks, and I'm not much of a reader. But my wife wanted to really pursue reading books with my son and do reading in the mornings and before bedtime. And so that kind of got me thinking, okay, I need to, that's a really good idea. Reading is important. It's good for the creative mind. And so I thought,
Look
okay,
at
how can
you
I
being a good father.
just try my best. And so, yeah, it's like there's a lot of awesome books out there. And then I, not to be like selfish, but it's like, how can I incorporate some of the things I also like and want to share with my son? But also in a fun way. Yeah, we don't really know Japanese all that well, but he's picking up words. He goes around and says like Japanese words for trains and the names of the trains, and I get it because I'm the one that's teaching him. But other people are like, what's he saying? Like he's coming up, and I'm like, oh yeah, it's like,
Hayabusa,
yeah,
Densha Otaku,
yeah.
Yamanote-sen,
It's kind of cool
Dokka
that no one else
Yellow.
understands him, and then I have to like I understand him completely. They don't know he's speaking Japanese in this like densha way, and then I translate it for him to the people, like the other adults in the room. And so
Yeah,
it's
it's
kind
like
of
back
cool.
in
We
the
have this
day
little
when
bond.
we used to watch anime and stuff, we'd be like, Kamehameha! And be like, Destructo
Exactly.
Disc! Or like, playing Street Fighter and saying Hadouken and stuff. We didn't really know what that meant, but we were crazy kids doing that type of stuff. So for him, I guess it's Yamanote Sen is his Kamehameha, and that's okay.
Yeah, so it's nice that it's kind of created a deeper bond between the two of us, and we've taken it to, seeing different trains in real life now where we live in Edmonton, and there's a giant list growing of all the trains that we want to ride in Japan. That's
Let's go.
a lot of it spawned because of these books. So these books have been very powerful in doing a lot of things for relationship building and learning about stuff together. So yeah, I would say if you have kids, or even if you don't have kids, just find a topic that you're interested in and look up some Japanese books aimed at like the different age levels, depending on how comfortable you feel in your Japanese. And then just, yeah, take a look. I think things with pictures, there's the world of books is very vast. It sometimes can feel very overwhelming. It's like, where do I start when I want to look for books? And I only found these books because I didn't want to pay full price for them, because books can be expensive. And so I just randomly went on to a Japanese used bookstore online, and it
Nice.
was kind of like not the greatest website in terms of the UI and how it displayed the books, because a
Sounds
lot of
very
the books I
Japanese to
bought,
me.
yeah, they didn't have like much of a way of like description of the book. And I guess it's a used bookstore too, so they're not like gonna have all of the details. Some of them didn't even have thumbnail pictures for what the book looked like. But it was in stock and the book was like $2 or $3. And so I just kind of bought whatever I could afford that, like, okay, I'm gonna buy like, $30 worth of used books. Not really knowing too much about what the books were until I got them in at home like a few months later, because I did like the cheapest, slowest shipping there was, and opened them up and was like, hey, this is what we got. Let's just see. And that was kind of a nice way of doing it. It was just really cool to like buy used books that are cheap. You're not too worried about the money. You're kind of excited to see what you get, and then just sharing the moments and learnings with your child, or if it's just you, and
Nice, nice,
just
nice.
diving into them and just exploring the magical wonder that the books can provide. So yeah, really cool. I would definitely do that again. So I'm looking forward to Japan and going to Japan again, and going to all the used bookstores and going directly to the children's section. Seriously,
Nerd.
they're so good. Like
Yeah,
just
I
the
agree.
illustrations. Yeah.
I really agree. Like I read a lot as a child, as a teenager. I don't know, somewhere around, I don't know, age 20, I just kind of stopped reading anything personally. And
Yeah.
apparently that's like a common thing for most millennial kids, where we read a lot and then I don't know, we just stopped. I don't know if it's the age of the internet or whatever, but living
Yeah,
in
that makes sense.
Japan, not necessarily just train books, but I find that like libraries and just like a book reading culture is quite present here. And I found most what do you say, most of my progress from reading books. And there are libraries, whether at the school that I'm working at or in the community that I live, and yeah, they have an extensive kids book section. And yeah, that's where a lot of my reading practice comes from. I read elementary school books. They have the kind of, they grade them by the school level here in Japan. But yeah, I'm reading like elementary school, second and third grade books, and I started from kindergarten books, so it feels like I'm going through the Japanese education system little by little. But yeah, I think that might be a topic for another episode, talking about reading other types of books depending on your level to expand your Japanese language ability. But yeah. Yeah, let's wrap up episode 19 of the Bonbon Show. It's all about train books for kids, for Japanese language learners, and for densha otaku like ourselves. my pal Aaron talked about three awesome books today. Shinkansen de Iko, Shinkansen de Go, and Densha no Zukan. This has been episode 19 of the Bonbon Show. Do you want to say anything as we head out, Aaron?
Yeah, if anyone's curious about these books in particular, or I have a number of other Japanese train books as well. I actually even have just some other Japanese kids books too that I got from our Japanese community association. But if you have any suggestions of books, or you want to talk about train books or other cool illustrated children's books and share knowledge, I would love to learn about other books too. I try to go to the library as much as possible to find what I can, but our Japanese library collection is quite small. So yeah, let's if you want to have a conversation and share any of the books that you're reading or any cool finds that you have, feel free to comment on YouTube if this is where you're watching. And yeah, thanks for letting us talk about children's trade books. It's probably a random conversation to have, but it's really fun, and yeah, it kind of just takes you somewheres where you might not have thought you would end, which ends up
Yeah.
being learning Japanese a bit, learning about Japan, and creating some bonding with your child or someone else, or even just some cool alone time for yourself if that's what you need. So, thanks
Yeah.
everyone for listening today. We'll catch you in the next one. Matane.
Bye bye.